set on our oral argument docket this morning, and after this case, we will recess for a panel change, and then we have a couple of cases set for argument this afternoon. So, with that, you may call the first case.
Before we go,
please, court. I'm here on a pretrial writ of habeas corpus in which we claim that the interpretation of a section of the DWI statute by the district court is unlawfully holding Mr. Serrato to a habitual felony count on a misdemeanor DWI. First, I want to address the state claims in its brief that the review that this court is required to give is one based on deference to the court, district court's ruling. And I'm going to suggest to you that's not right. It's a de novo review because there are no contested facts in this case. And so it's just a question of law. That's reviewed de novo. I didn't cite this in the brief because their brief came in just a little bit ago, and you set this rather quickly, but I'll send you the letter. But there's a case out of this court called, Ex Parte Man, 34 Southwest 3rd, 716. It sets that out, and I think that's fairly standard in any type of review of constitutional or statutory interpretation. The statute involved, and here's the situation, of course. Now in Texas, in order for a DWI to be enhanced to a felony, there has to be two prior misdemeanor DWIs. So it's on the third offense that it becomes a felony. When this statute, prior to that, the DWI second was a felony. But part of this DWI statute, and this is section 49.09G, states a conviction may be used for enhancement under this section or enhancement under subchapter D of chapter 12, which is the habitual, which contains 11 different statutes, including the habitual offender statute, which is charged here, but not under both this section and subchapter D. Now, first, I want to review just exactly what the Code of Criminal Procedure requires in terms of statutory interpretation, because it's somewhat different. For instance, section 1.05 says the statute's not, this penal code's not to be strictly construed, unlike what the usual statutory construction. And secondly, it says it's to be construed according to the provisions shall be intended to be construed to achieve the following objective. So it's a little different than under the Code Construction Act. Part of those is by definition and grading of offenses to give fair warning of what is prohibited and the consequences of violation. And number two, to prescribe penalties that are proportionate to the seriousness of the offenses and to permit recognition of differences in rehabilitation possibilities among individual offenders. It's our position that this statute was specifically put in the code to prevent just exactly what the state's doing here, enhancing a Class B misdemeanor to a habitual offender statute with a minimum of 25 years in the penitentiary. The state cites in its brief two cases, one out of this court, Perez versus State, and I want to deal with that just briefly. Perez case was one in which the court made a ruling based on Carroll case out of the Houston court, which I'm also going to deal with. But I would submit to you that Perez is dicta, because in its footnote, this court, this is a 2002 case, says, indeed, the record contains no evidence that the 1994 misdemeanor conviction was used to enhance appellant's September 3rd, 1996 DWI conviction to a felony. So I don't think Perez is a citable precedent for what we're talking about here. However, The Carroll case is in point, and I think it's got erroneous construction of the statute and an erroneous reading of the statute. And here's why. Once again, what we've got here, and the only difference between this and the Phillips case, which is a Court of Criminal Appeals case where they upheld the statute, in Phillips there were two felony cases that were used to enhance, and they were also used to enhance punishment, and the court clearly said no, it's prohibited. In that case, the ruling was that that by failing to object, the argument was waived. We haven't done that here, but also they said that the court that by failing to object, the defense lawyer was not ineffective. It was an effective assistance of counsel. So that's how the decision came down in Phillips. However, what you have here is, once again, a statute which clearly says you're not to be used for both jurisdictional enhancement and punishment enhancement. And what we're saying is one of the felonies that's being used to enhance punishment was enhanced by one of the same misdemeanors that they're using to enhance the misdemeanor, the Class B misdemeanor, to a felony. Now, here's what Carroll does, and it's on page 800 of the opinion. They state, first of all, clearly the legislature considered the possibility of multiple uses of a conviction under sections 1409B. And by the way, the section number has changed in this opinion. It's now 4909G. It was 4909F. And I would submit to you that in this Carroll opinion, they also put it down as B a couple times, but anyway, you can tell what they're talking about, regardless of whether they got the right letter in the parentheses or not. It's Houston. The pages get stuck together. It's humid, that sort of thing. And so they recognize that, but then they say the rationale then for not allowing, and this is the exact same situation. They said there's a felony. We're not going to consider the fact that that felony was enhanced by the misdemeanor, which they're using to enhance. But they say this, further, only felonies may be used to enhance punishment under section 12.42D. That's the habitual offender statute. The disjunctive language of section 49.09B, quote, a conviction may be used for purposes of enhancement under this section or under, and then they put in brackets the habitual offender statute, but not under both, assumes a section 12.42D conviction must be for a felony offense. And then they cite Texas Penal Code section 4909F should be now G. Misdemeanor convictions may not be alleged to enhance punishment under section 12.42D, the habitual offender statute. And then they say it follows that the disjunctive language applies only to felony DWI. It does not apply to the use of a misdemeanor DWI under section 12.42D, and therefore 49.09F is limited by 12.42D. Here's the fallacy in that reasoning. The statute doesn't limit itself to 12.42D. It talks about the entire subsection. And in fact, in our penal code, section 105C, it says when there's a reference to a section, a subsection, it includes the whole subsection. There are 11 different statutes in Chapter 12, Subsection D, one of which is the misdemeanor enhancement statute. So their attempt to limit to just to felonies by focusing on one of 11 statutes in Subchapter D as a way of showing that's what the legislature must have meant is just flawed reasoning. Because you can enhance under the misdemeanor statute too, because realize a second misdemeanor DWI has enhanced penalties, and you could enhance it under the enhancement provisions of Subchapter 12D or under this statute, and they say you can't do both. So there's, what I'm saying is, this legislature was not limiting this to felonies. They were broadening. It was a broad interpretation, has to be given, and in fact that's what the code says needs to be done, not only with regard to not strictly construing the statute or trying to find a way to uphold the conviction, but also, really, I think, And I think more importantly is looking at the whole scheme of things, the legislature, by putting this in there, if they wanted just to do what the state's doing, there's really no need to put this provision in there. Let them go ahead and use it both times and enhance it up to this, you know, this pretty draconian penalty under the habitual criminal statute. But and the thing is, it's not like they couldn't. If there were two or three other felonies, they could get the habitual offender. But the question, but the reason this is there is to not let you take a misdemeanor, a Class B misdemeanor, and enhance it that way by using it both, you know, to enhance the DWI to a felony, and then again to use it in one of these, by way of the felony DWI. The felony DWI by necessity has to be enhanced by the two DWIs. Well, take that back. It can now be enhanced by another felony too, but that's not what's happened here, not what happened in Carroll. So, and by the way, I've cited some other cases. Prior to this statute, the courts had long held that you could not use both jurisdictionally and punishment enhancement in a lot of other contexts. For instance, reporting a sex offender, I think that's the Wisdom case, where if you have to fail to report as a sex offender, they have to prove that you were convicted of this sex offense. They can't then use it to enhance your punishment on either one of these, in enhancement or in the habitual offender statute, that sort of thing. There's another case, Ballard, I believe, is one where I might have a mix-up. Maybe it's Wisdom one way and Ballard the other way, but that was a felon carrying a weapon. And it can be enhanced to a felony if the felon committed a crime of violence. Otherwise, it's a misdemeanor. And those, by the way, I believe have an underpinning of basically jeopardy use. That's why we brought this as a double jeopardy case under this writ, because and I will tell you that the cases don't say that, but the cases go back for many, many years with the same thing, and realize we actually codify in, I think it's section 1 of the penal code, the Code of Criminal Procedure, we actually codify all of our constitutional amendments. They're all due process, jeopardy, et cetera, codified. So basically, that's why we believe that the Carroll case, which the state is citing as its authority for this, and which the district court found, is not good law, because once again the reasoning is flawed with regard to the legislative interpretation of the statute. And if there's any questions, I'll thank you. Oh, excuse me. Yes, at the time they passed this. Right. Right. That's right, Judge. I may be. At the time, I believe that's correct. At the time, they did several things when they passed this, and I could have it a little mixed up, but I don't think so. I think what they did was they changed the felony statute. They changed the DWI statute to require two misdemeanors instead of one, and then but then they also allowed enhancement to be made by a felony as well as by a misdemeanor. Okay, but they then put this. I think this. Okay. 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 I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't misunderstand. Yeah.
Felony DWI to get to the additional
I may not be following you again, but I think what if I've got you correctly, I think the answer is yes. In other words, they assumed that there has to be a felony by virtue of the way they were looking at subchapter 12D, when in fact it doesn't have to be. It could be any. It could be a misdemeanor.
The light came on for me in your oral argument, even after I read all the briefs and read the cases and the statutes that you cited, and that is that you're picking a portion of the legislative statement in 12 to require the application of the section that we're specifically dealing with here to the whole
I agree. I think they did have in mind the whole enhancement provision, and they said, "Look, we're gonna, you know, in essence, we're making it a little harder to get to the felony DWI, but we're increasing some penalties along the way. But we're not going to let you enhance with all this stuff. You can only use it one way. Either use it here, use it there. Yeah. Okay. Thank you."
May it please the court, my name is Andy Porter, I represent the state of Texas. It's, and I may be mistaken, but it sounds like what the applicant here in this habeas action is asking the court to do is to take a step beyond what 4909 requires, to impute into the statute the requirement that the prior offenses not have been used for enhancements in earlier DWI prosecutions. And that language isn't in the statute. In fact, the Texarkana Court of Appeals in 2004 faced that exact issue, and their analysis was that that is not in the statute, that it is permissible to use two misdemeanors to enhance a current prosecution to a felony, and to use a prior felony DWI that relied on the same two misdemeanor prosecutions that are being currently used to jurisdictionally enhance the case to a felony, to a further higher degree felony. That case was House versus State. It's 120 Southwest 3rd at 903, and specifically I direct the court's attention to page 910 and the pages before and after where it goes through the double jeopardy analysis. But essentially Chief Justice Morris writing for the court said that to take that step beyond what is actually in the statute, to require more than the statute requires, is a step that the Texarkana Court is not willing to take.
Because the face of the statute prohibits the use of a conviction, and the conviction is a felony conviction based on the predicate two DWIs, but the conviction is not for the two predicate DWIs, the misdemeanor DWIs.
You're correct, Your Honor. And that's basically the guts of the state's case. This isn't a double-dip case. We're acting on the same actus reus in the current prosecution, the actus reus for which he got convicted of the two misdemeanors, a different actus reus for which he got convicted of a felony. And those the two misdemeanors give you your jurisdictional enhancements. The actus reus for that prior felony gives you your punishment enhancement. It's as straightforward as that. It's a direct. This is Carroll with less complicated facts. And it's consistent with this court's opinion in Perez. It's consistent with the decision of the House Court by Texarkana. It's consistent with the analysis used by the court in Barnes. Barnes involved a burglary of a habitation, the old use of a prior felony for enhancement purposes. And it's not exactly on point because it's a DWI case, but the analysis, the analytical pattern the court went through, it applies with equal force here. And it's also consistent with the Carroll case. Unless there are any questions, I'll yield the remainder of my time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honor, let me just point out one thing, that when they use the term conviction in subsection G of 49.09, it can refer to either a misdemeanor or a felony, because that section deals with both.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, right.
But my question is that here, in this case.
Right, yeah. Here it's a felony that it's enhanced by the two misdemeanors that they're also using in the indictment for to raise it to a felony. Right.
Correct.
That's clearly what's going on. Okay. If there are any other questions, I'll be done. Thank you.
Mr. Butler?
Oh, yes, sir.
Don't quietly.
Okay, no, I'm not in a hurry.
On the page 11 of the state's book, the sentence that pulls this together in my reading says, thus the trial court reasonably determined that the indictment in this case does not illegally authorize the state's use of the appellant's two prior misdemeanor convictions for both jurisdictional enhancement and punishment enhancement. That's what you take issue with, isn't it?
It is what I take issue with, because that's what they've done, because in order to get to the punishment stage, they have to use one of the same misdemeanors that they're using to enhance jurisdiction.
Without the two misdemeanors, there's not an additional felony. Is that your point?
Yes, right. In other words, my client has another felony conviction that's not DWI related that would enhance it. They could enhance that, you know, but not to the habitual thing. In other words, they could get a repetition count with that because it has nothing to do with DWI. But otherwise, the two misdemeanors make up the felony, and those two misdemeanors are being used to, in other words, those same two misdemeanors were used for the felony, okay? Now they're using them again to make this a felony, and then they're using that felony to enhance punishment to the habitual offender. Right. I don't think Section 12 is limited in the way the Carroll case tries to say it has to be a felony, because it involves a lot of stuff. And like I said, in the overall scheme of things, I think it's way beyond what the legislature intended for that statute to mean punishment-wise for a misdemeanor DWI, B misdemeanor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, counsel. Your case is submitted. We appreciate your arguments before the court today, and you are free to go about your business. We will be adjourned for a few minutes for a panel.